Hey, motherfucker. Go to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
I just know you could fly a plane. Why, yes! Land, go!
Hurting people's not a good thing. Well, sometimes it is, but not when it's a bunch of people looking for something to eat.
I can understand you're very upset. Kittredge, you've never seen me very upset.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
Relax.
I am relaxed.
Look, this is as far as I go because I'm a dead giveaway, see? I go in there with you, but they know my face, all the slavers, and they want to push it in.
Not while I'm there.
It's all up to you now, Jack. My destiny rests in your capable hands.
Hey, I'll do my best.
Thing is to make them drop their guard.
I'll try.
Thing is to look stupid.
He does.
Now get your ugly white ass out of here. Don't come back.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Hey, welcome to the first ever Impossible White Man movie review on the Black Outtakes Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod. I'm joined by a man that you guys should be familiar with. If you listen to our show, you should be listening to his show. I talk about it all the time. But it's my man, Tone, from the FiveStarter.com podcast. What's going on, Young?
What up, Young? That's your little catchphrase, right?
Yeah. Make sure you put that O and that U in there.
For sure. Hey, what's up, man? How you feeling?
Good, man. I'm glad I could catch up with you, man. On the low, I don't know if people noticed, they have to really pay attention to Twitter, but me and Tone was synced up on our movies, especially around the time of Olympus Has Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of fell off for a while, and we was all over the place. And this 3 Days to Kill looked like it might be the movie that got us back in line.
Yeah, dog. For a minute there, it was like a bad episode of the Monkees and shit, man.
Yeah. I used to get out the theater and be like, now let me go check in. Damn. So we're talking about the movie 3 Days to Kill, a Costner flick.
Dog, he back.
He back, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Back like he's never been before. He's a dying CIA agent trying to reconnect with his estranged daughter. And he's offered an experimental drug that could save his life in exchange for one last assignment. Other people in this movie, Amber Heard, who's just being sexy for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter, Haley Steinfeld, who's actually pretty good in this movie.
She from that Enders, dog.
Mm-hmm. She was good in Enders Game.
Yep.
The dude from the first season of them Cards, House of Cards, was in this joint too. That was pretty much about the most of the major casting. Let's get right into it though, man. So this joint opens up and they're giving Amber Heard a talk about how she's supposed to take down Wolfgang Braun. A.K.A. The Wolf.
The Wolf. Dog, they got the most basic-ass names for these villains. The Wolf and the Albino.
Right. It sounds like what people say when they tank other villain movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dog. Creative just went and got a ham sandwich. Like, y'all just make that shit up. We'll be back.
Right. It sounds like what you would say if it was like, hey, man, so, would you see Da Vinci Code? Yeah, man, they was trying to get the Albino. And the Wolf. But so they was the main bad guys. And it opens up with apparently my man Kevin Costner is panned into a room with six bodies on the floor and this man coughing. He killing people with the flu, y'all. He was sick.
It's that preface to Helix and shit on the Sci-Fi channel.
Yeah, he was coughing pretty bad, man. You know, he's a family man. He got a Google Calendar alert to remind him that his daughter's birthday was right about then. So, you know, it's like really sitting home that, like in that scene, he's old. He's sick of this shit. He's sick.
Literally.
He should have called in, took the day off, but he's doing this mission. He's still good at his job, obviously, because there's a bunch of dead bodies and he obviously put them there. And he decides to go get some cough medicine in the middle of the mission.
Right.
Also, his partner was, they didn't use her good enough, man. This, Asian housemaid, like, she was undercover as an Asian housekeeper, which obviously wouldn't make sense. There's no such thing as a Asian housekeeper. come on. Like, her grades was probably too good for that shit.
Right. Hey, she was kind of sexy, though, man. She had some long legs, huh?
She was, dog. I really hated that they killed her so fast, because I was like, oh, this is going to be some good back and forth between her and him. You know, her telling him to stay on the mission and him being like, I'm doing it my way and shit like that. But nah, they didn't do that, man. They killed her right away. So I had to add like 5 points for that, because like anytime they kill the partner cop, mm-hmm. like that's a staple of the Impossible White Man. So I give it 5 for that. I'm also putting 10 for him being old, because I like the old Impossible White Man. That's my new genre.
Oh, dog, that's one of my favorite shits, man. Like the old agent.
Mm-hmm.
When he got a run, if you're running pigeon-toed young star by Harrison Ford, dog, I'd be smiling, you know?
Yeah, dog. The first time he ran in this movie, which was during this scene, and they subbed out to the stuntman just to run.
Right.
I said, damn, dog. They did a stuntman to run, dog, because that run he was doing was so different than the joint when they panned out. I said, that's a different dude, man.
Right. I know Danny Glover was somewhere mad as shit, like, they ain't give me a stunt, man.
Yeah, I did all them stunts in Predator. Shit.
No, I'm talking about Lethal Weapon when Jet Li was kicking his ass, and I know he was mad as shit.
Yeah, I know he wanted to tag out. Right. So in the middle of the fucking mission, while the Asian housekeeper sidekick is getting ready to get killed, this nigga goes to get some cough medicine. Then he goes back to the van where they're supposed to be surveilling. The whole time they're supposed to be surveilling the albino, who is the right-hand man of the wolf. So they're supposed to be watching him make some type of weapons exchange for money or whatever. He's a weapons dealer. And he gets the cold medicine, goes back to the van, talks to them dudes, tells them, I got to go make a phone call to my daughter because her birthday. And they was like, nigga, what? we on a, this is a high priority mission. This talking about the fate of the fucking world. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead, make this phone call. So I'm actually adding 10 for that shit too. Cause that's a staple of the white man shit where they'd be like, I'm doing what I want to do.
Well, what are you giving the points for? Because, I thought they were so surprised and just disgusted because he went to use a damn payphone in the first place. Like, who the fuck uses a payphone, you know?
He did. And how he got the change.
Yeah, man.
He gave the dude a watch and told him, just give me the change. I'll be back. And then when the dude was like, okay, cool, thanks for the watch, he said, I'll be back for the watch. I was like, so then you just stole the change?
Right.
Yeah, he goes to call on the payphone, the only payphone in 2014, and that's when the whole mission goes wrong, man. Like, bombs start going off, niggas pull up, do a drive-by on the van he was supposed to be in, his partner gets decapitated, like, it was a whole lot of shit going down, he, the whole time, he's leaving a message for his daughter to say happy birthday, so, that's why I give it the plus 10 for the phone call, because, you know, it was that one thing that saved him that really was bullshit, but they made it seem like it was skill. He should have been dead.
Yep.
All right. So then, he somehow manages to headshot seven dudes, in the chaos to find the albino. all his backup is dead and shit, but he's handling it himself. So he starts chasing the albino, and this is one of my favorite scenes because, like I said, they do the stunt double. The albino has henchmen with him. He starts shooting through the ceiling, hitting the henchmen, even though they can't see each other. He finally catches the albino, and that nigga passed out.
Right.
Cause he old. He's sick. He shouldn't be doing this shit.
He started blinking hard. I was like, no, this nigga ain't about to pass out, you know?
I started laughing as soon as they did that first, like, shaky cam.
Yeah.
I said, damn, this nigga about to pass out. He was breathing all hard. And I guess, like, they tried to emphasize, like, well, he passed out really because he got cancer. But at that point, you don't know he got cancer. So it really just looked like he horribly out of shape. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was fucking some gummy bears up at that point, so I didn't put all that him being sick shit together. And I was like, he got old and took a nap, you know?
Yeah. Hey, and the albino dude seen him passing out and was looking like, well, shit then, I guess I'm good. And right. he shot dude in the leg just so he wouldn't fuck with him.
Right. That's really old, you know? Like, now just go about your business now. I'm gonna take this nap now. We'll be square, but just in case, pop up.
Yeah, that was such an old man move, man. I started laughing like shit, man. He shot him. And then apparently he passed out, man. And that was about the time I noticed that they rolled them credits, them opening credits, and this was co-produced by the company 3DTK.
Oh yeah?
3 days to kill.
Oh,
sound like Costner might have had his hand in this.
I doubt it though. You know why? Because there wasn't no cowboys in it.
It wasn't no cowboys though. It wasn't.
But technically, Young, isn't he always a cowboy?
I mean, he had a cowboy gunslinging mentality.
Uh huh.
Wouldn't wear them clothes.
Mm-mm.
So then like This is where it really ascended to the next level, because the elements that weren't action actually kept me, like, entertained. And normally that's the difference between a good Impossible White Man movie and a terrible one. He came home and Africans had broken his house and was living there.
They was partying, Young.
They was in there listening to soul music and dancing and chilling, man. And he couldn't even be mad. Cause the dude that had broke in was the nicest African dude on the earth.
Yeah, he kept on smiling at him, Young. Like, he didn't know what the fuck was going on.
he was looking like, oh, you finally home. Like, he didn't go, oh shit, we busted. He's like, oh, you home.
Beat my family.
Yeah. His name was Jules, the African.
Yeah. Again. A lot of creative there, dog.
didn't even get a family a last name.
Right, Jules and them.
Jules. Yeah, a real cute kid, too. Little boy, he was cool. His daughter was pregnant, so that's the only thing that kept them from getting kicked out. But Costal was looking like he was thinking about putting a bullet in their head. Oh, shit, I just realized I got to add another 5 points. He had that voice. Like, Costner was acting.
Yeah, man. He was doing his little Liam Neeson thing, man. That rugged ass old man, Young, who's been around the block a few times. Yeah, he was doing that.
Yeah, that was pretty dope, man. So I forgot he gave Jules that talk. We was like, we got two rules. It's like, yeah, he doing that voice. He's serious.
Right.
So he gives them the rundown. You could tell they're going to be a little bit of comic relief and shit. But
so this joint was, my bad. I was thinking, man, mm-hmm. This joint was in Europe, right? He was like in Paris or something like that.
Yep.
So wouldn't it have been real cool if, instead of, like, you know, threatening to kill Jules or whatever, he'd been like, swing that chain, Jules, swing that chain.
Yeah, that would have been dope, man.
Yes. Whoever gets that gets it, but it's too long to go into in depth, so.
You know what's funny though, man, is like with that whole family and his, like it was funny Kevin Costner was willing to kick all their asses out, except that the old girl was about to give birth, and that was the breaking point. He was like, well, when she had a kid, y'all gotta get the fuck out. But, like, he was really going, I mean, it still would have been pretty cold, even if she wasn't pregnant, to be like, y'all get the fuck out. I don't know where y'all going. Y'all can't stay here.
Yes and no, young. Like, it was pretty blatant that he was acting like, Jules was acting like nothing was wrong. Like, yeah, come meet my family. We cooking right now. We watching TV. Like, nigga, you stole my house, young. Acknowledge that.
He put that gun on him, too. They was talking. He just pulled the gun out, like, and Jules said, we can move out now. Jules, dog.
Yeah, man. That's, well, at least they did save him a room,
yeah. Yeah, that's true. They didn't go in his room. And that's lucky, because that's the room that had all the guns. I think them niggas had been in there and was like, nope, stay out of that one. That one.
Right.
That shit got guns. We don't got nothing to do with that.
Little boy, you got to sleep in the motherfucking tub, y'all. Don't get in that room, though.
Word. This is about the time, man, where they show his apartment. His apartment got nothing but pictures of his daughter when she like 3 years old. Like, he don't got no pictures from her growing up. So we realize he's Larry Bird. He's a bad dad, man.
Bad dad.
Apparently he ain't been around, and now he dying, got that diagnosis, and, he wanna, reconcile everything with his daughter. So he goes to try to, meet up with his family and shit, you know, gets a hotel room and shit. And we meet his ex-wife, still keeping it together.
Mm-hmm.
Looking like one of the, ladies in the Viagra ad, you know, a little older, but still tight.
Waiting for her husband to throw that football through that tire.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to take that bath together.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is where Amber Heard's character, who was kind of pointless in this movie, she finally shows back up. Like, she was at the first mission watching everything go wrong, not really doing shit, and then she shows up and like offers him the cure for cancer if he'll take one last mission. And she just had mad wardrobe changes and a lot of, you know, close-ups of ass and titties and shit. It felt like Lady Gaga could have did this. Like, it wasn't no major acting on her part. She just was there to be sexy.
Exactly.
But I give her some points for that, because, you know, eye candy, it don't hurt, but she was pretty much pointless. All right, so then he got, they start giving him a cure for cancer. This shit got drug side effects that, like, make him hallucinate shit. But before he gets the cure for cancer, which apparently they didn't give him because he was, you know, he wasn't valuable enough at first.
After fucking 25 years of service, yeah. Risking his life, right?
Apparently he never killed nobody important until just now. Okay. But he's supposed to be the man. All right. Anyway. So, he goes to a hotel where she just tells him to kill a dude and then to keep a young dude with a mustache alive so she can, interrogate him. And he rolls in the room and pretty much kills everybody. Except for a dude with a mustache, and she decides that it's not a mustache. She decides that the dude with a goatee is the one with the mustache, and it's a real, like, trying to do some, you know, some comedy, some Laurel and Hardy, some back and forth. She's not really funny, so it didn't really come off well. It wasn't Costner's fault, though. Like, he worked with what he could.
Yeah, that shit just came off as a woman changing her mind. Big surprise there.
Right. She in charge, but she don't know what she's doing. And she killed the dude, too, which, like, I thought they were going to do something with that. Like, she was going to be a double agent or something later. But, like, it just didn't make sense. She just killed the dude just because. She was like, he was like, well, we can ask this dude. She was like, bam. Well, now we ain't asking him. I'm like, god damn. That's what I
don't... Right. Take that.
Right.
I'm in charge.
Yeah. Let
me show you.
I got this management position. So yeah, she just killed the dude. They didn't do no recon on this mission. She sent him in there and like basically just to see if he still had skills. So he Sam Fisher'd the motherfuckers and got out of there. She injected his ass with that cure. And then, he went and hung out with his wife. And, he was like fucked up off the cure, but he was still hanging out with his family, trying to reconcile with his daughter and shit. His daughter don't like him, y'all. So I'm going to have to add, that's another plus, that's plus five. That teenage angst daughter is a staple of the impossible old white man. And our only thing that was missing, or just, you know, that kid that don't like you, the only thing that was missing is she didn't get kidnapped, really.
Yeah. She didn't get Kim Bauer'd, young. So.
Yeah. Like, I was really...
Thank God.
Dude, that, like, I was expecting that the whole movie. And when it didn't happen in the movie, and I was like, I like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Amber Heard, a whole bunch of cut scenes with her trying to be sexy. Okay. This is another thing. This is where it got funny again. When he started kidnapping some of his targets, like, it was this dude that sold foreign cars that apparently knew some information about the albino. When he started asking them niggas for parenting advice between torturing them,
right,
all that was good.
So what type of fucking agent always answers the phone and calls his daughter by name? Like, if this was a MI movie, young motherfucker, some villain would have found that name, young, and then a cross reference, and she'd have been dead. That's all his fault. Yep. Just for answering the phone, yeah.
That's another reason I thought she was getting kidnapped. Cause he right. was way too casual. Zoe. And like she had her own ringtone and shit. I was like, man, they gonna catch this girl, torture the shit out of her cause of him. And he gonna be like, damn, that is right. I'm in the CIA. But,
yeah. Cosguard, lucky as shit, Philip Seymour Hoffman dead, young, because his daughter would have been dead, dog. He was the villain.
Yeah, nah, he was fucking with some low-rent amateur villains, man, which was probably the only downside of this movie is that they didn't really get any, like, major actors to be villains in it, because it could have went to the next level if they would have had a real-deal bad guy.
Yes and no, young. I think the albino could have been a beastly-ass villain, but he was like an underboss. Like, he was like, fucking super macho man and shit, and the wolf was like Mike Tyson, young, but he was better, young. Like, he was more menacing. Mm-hmm. Like, that dude has a fucking career ahead of him as a villain, dog.
Yo, and why? Yo, you ever notice, like, Hollywood is racist against albinos? Why they always act like they mute?
Right.
Like, he can still talk. He just albino, man. Like, they made him talk so little, man. Like, I wanted him to, like, have some good bars, man, to go back and forth with Costner, man. But it's like he'll just see Costner start running. And then wait till he pass out. That was it.
Yeah.
He put a hostage in the trunk, asking him for some parenting advice, and then went and picked up his daughter in that car. And told his daughter he worked in sales.
Right.
And I was like, that's another 5 points. Cause like that shit would only work if, you're a white man. If he would have been like Wesley Snipes in that part, I'd be like, come on, nigga. He ain't no sales.
You sell drugs.
Right. What you wink, sell? Wink. What you sell? Oh, shout out to the other running gag, when he bought her a bike.
Yeah.
That was a good running gag for a long time because everybody was shitting on him about getting that bike, for a minute. So that was cool. We'll just keep up with that because that comes back later. This nigga, kidnaps a dude, puts him in the trunk. They have a pretty funny scene about him and his daughter picking music with the dude in the trunk making a whole bunch of noise. He goes back there and tells dude to shut the fuck up and hits him upside the head with the gun with his daughter in the front seat. And eventually his daughter runs off and is like, fuck you, dad, because I got kicked out of school and you ain't care. She made up some story about like helping an Israeli kid. And he was like, that's good. And then she got mad anyway. I was like, God damn, man, I don't want no daughter. That's for sure.
Well, I don't think it's so much not wanting a daughter, young, but if you neglect her for like 15 years, that might be the,
oh, okay.
Turn the fact of her being shithead.
Okay, yeah, because she said, she said, I lie all the time about nothing, about everything. And he was like, it's cool. And I was like, I guess that's because he in the CIA, he lie. So.
Well, because he ain't been there. What the fuck can he say? Like, nah, you shouldn't do that. Like, nigga, where you been?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Oh, so she runs off and she's like, you know, forget it then and all this shit. And he wanted to like go do some kid shit, go to their favorite park and whatnot. So he goes on his mission. He's like, fuck it. You know, I still got this cancer. I still need these treatments. So let me just go ahead and keep killing these people. And right when he's about to like get the next bad guy who's an Italian, he gets a phone call from her and has to leave the middle of the fucking mission to go hang out with his daughter, which was crazy. But
points right there, dog. Got me some points right there.
Yeah, I get that 10. That was a good scene. That was a good scene. And when he left, like, he was literally looking at the dude he was about to kill, the bad guy's bodyguard, and got that phone call and was like, man, shit, Zoe. I said, damn, this nigga really about to leave.
Yeah, man. Such a size.
Oh, man.
But it's Cosby Young, so I was with it.
Yeah, man, he has so much swag. Like, earlier in this movie, before he kidnaps the car dude, like, he has a scene where he walks in. Because, like, the thing I like about his swag in this movie is he don't want no problems. He just want to do his mission the laziest way possible. He don't want to dress up. He don't never go undercover. Like, he don't do surveillance. He just walks in places and be like, I need to talk to this bad guy.
Yeah, I think he finally got a suit when his daughter was shitting on him so much. He's like, you a damn salesman, don't have a suit? And he was like, oh, yeah, go ahead and get a suit.
He didn't,
if that'll help.
Yo, he didn't even get the suit. That Amber Heard made that black dude take his suit off and give it to him twice.
Oh, yeah.
This damn nigga was that lazy, man. Like, he was just old, and he don't want no problems.
Yeah, dog, man. If his character would have been black, I had a real problem with this movie.
Me too. Me too, dog.
Like, if the only time you get a CIA agent as black, he got to be lazy on you. Like, yeah, dog. That shit would have been racist.
If this shit would have starred Forrest Whitaker, dog, it's no way in hell I'd be giving this the same rating, dog. It would have came off like he was just out of shape and didn't care.
That nigga would have been rolling around the whole movie with a rag on his neck, yeah.
Breathing hard. Stop running. I'll shoot you in your leg. So in that scene though, he walks in, basically tells them two bodyguards, like, they start shitting on him, like, nigga, what you got on? You think you can afford these cars? And he's like, look, man, I just want to meet with y'all boss. And they was like, man, fuck you, you broke ass nigga. So he finally says some shit back. And then they got mad at him, like, what you trying to do? They cut back to the next scene. This nigga sitting at the desk, legs up on the table, bodyguards dead in the corner. Like, his whole thing was just, why y'all make me do this?
Right.
I just want the cure. So, anyway, so yeah, same thing with his daughter, man. Like, he showed up to the park with the bike and shit. She was shitting on the bike still. But they hung out, had a good night. And she said, like, yo, I gotta study or some shit. I'm not gonna be home tonight. And she lied and went to the goddamn club.
Yep. And almost got ass raped, young.
Dog, that, first of all, man, it's fucked up that they had to make it an almost rape to justify how crazy it was that he really went into the club like that. But I was like, he just a good dad. Like, even she would have just been in that party and he was right.
Yep.
She lied.
Again, young, he's not a good dad, but yeah, he was for 5 minutes, young.
Yeah. I mean, he was trying.
Yeah, he was trying.
Yeah, so it's like they took it to the extreme, so you couldn't have no question. You couldn't be like, hey, maybe he shouldn't have did that. He was overreacting. Like, they made it where it was like, if he ain't go, she would got raped. Now what?
Yep.
I was like, all right, y'all right. So yeah.
Right, that much leeway there, man.
Yeah, I know that's better. I know getting embarrassed by your daddy in pajamas at the club is way better than that. But yeah, I kept wondering what dude was, man. That was her little boyfriend. Like, he didn't go to the club with her. She ditched him too.
Nah, they tried to throw a little swerve in there with, but you know, who his family was and shit, man. But he was pretty useless too, man.
Yeah, he was. I liked him though, man, because he was fucking safe.
Sasha from Step by Step.
He was safe as shit. That was the other thing that was bullshit though. Like, they made him too safe. Like, he wasn't even trying to fuck. I was like, come on.
Yeah, I can't even expect him to be a dirtbag, but it was just, you know, his pop, Sean. Yeah. I was like, alright,
yeah. Yeah, I wanted him to just be like, trying to do something, like he kept out past curfew or something easy, but.
No, yeah. I want him to be evil. I want him to be in on it, dog, and at some point, you know, she escaped with him, whatever, and he turned it up fucking, that camera like Thriller, young, with my eyes.
She had to kill him or some shit. So
yeah, to stay alive.
That would have been good, man. But it would have did the thing where she would have got kidnapped, though.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
It would
Yeah. I guess it worked out.
Yeah, it was just funny because he was lame and Kevin Costner didn't like him. Low key, Kevin Costner was pretty fucking racist this movie, man. Like, when he kidnapped the Italian dude and made him give a, give the recipe for some, meatball, some, spaghetti sauce. He just said, like, he didn't even say his name. And then he said, I guess, well, I'm in a meeting, but honey, I happen to have an Italian right here. You know, how to do sauce, right?
Right. Did they call him like Mario or some shit? You know, it was real basic, dog.
Something real racist, man.
Like, these writers, man, these writers must have been writing this script with hoods on, you know?
He did that shit to him, and then he had the old boy that was dating his daughter. Well, he was like, "Oh, you know, I play football," and he was like, "It's only one football." I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. He just didn't like him because he wasn't American, dog. Right. He shit on that young man. Oh, man. All right, so Ethan, to get in the club to save his daughter, he shot the bouncer in the leg. I thought that shit was high fucking hilarious.
Yep.
Like, he just don't want no problems, man.
Yeah, but that guy got some points, too. Like, it wouldn't have been 15 of them motherfuckers that just jumped on him right there.
Oh,
all,
yeah.
All them cameras and shit, yeah.
Yeah, somebody would have seen it, man. Like, you just shot a dude in the leg, and it brought in front of everybody. Now, there's a line, a gang of line of people just standing there waiting to get in, so, yeah. But, yeah, he fucked up them dudes that was going to rape Zoe.
Yeah.
Which, it doesn't really make sense that they would try to try him, though. Because, like... They rapists. They would have just tried to run. Like, they not badass, man. Like, he came up in there and they was like, get out. Once he fucked one of them up, they would have been like, hey, you good. But, right.
We'll find some butt. Yeah.
Yeah, he beat him up and then, he did that bodyguard with his daughter. I see you, Cost Dog, taking it back. He could still carry him out. She got roofied and then this part that fucked it up was, when she woke up, she really glossed over that she almost got raped, man.
Yeah, she's an ungrateful kid, young.
Yeah. I guess that's because he a bad dad, but that was weird because you figure you would just be like, hey, man, I at least appreciate, you know, you coming through. She was like, eh?
Right, man. Like, every fucking kid, young, like, despite their level of assholity, young, if you get saved, being ass raped young, you'll put that shit aside for at least 3 hours, young.
Right. She really hit him with that.
You go back to being an asshole tomorrow, but right now, like, 2 hours after almost getting ass raped young, yeah, you put that aside.
She hit him with that, so? You want a cookie?
Yeah.
So I ain't get raped? And why you give me this bike? I don't even know how to ride a bike, you bad dad. And I was like, damn, she really flipped that shit on him. And it was funny, though, because he asked, what kind of kid doesn't know how to ride a bike? Like a kid without a dad.
Costa shitting on his daughter. He ain't never seen
it. It was his fault.
Hey, yo, like, that's got to be the best thing that Hollywood, like, never tanks on, is despite how bad a parent is, young, you always end up hating the kid regardless, young.
Yes, that is true, man.
What's their problem?
And they always
make... So he missed 15 years.
Right. They always make being a parent its own motivation. Like, they never tell you, like, what exactly triggers a person to be like, I was shitty, but now I'm going to stop. Like, it's just like, and now I'm going to be a good dad. And they just are.
Well, I guess his was, he's about to die.
Yeah, yeah. But it don't explain why he was good at being a dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He should have still been fucking up pretty bad. And... It, like, at the end of the day, everything he decided to do for her was right. Even that fucking bike. He taught her how to ride the bike, and then they was friends, because now she got a childhood.
Right.
So, let's see what else. Yeah, this is about the time I noticed that, that's when he abducted the Italian dude, and I noticed that, I ain't seen the African dude in his family in a while, so I was getting nervous.
Yeah.
Cause like on the low, he hadn't really killed nobody for a while, and then he did all the daddy and shit. And I was like, damn, they running out of shit for him to do. At least check on them Africans. But he kidnapped this Italian dude, and guess where he went? Back to the apartment with the Africans.
Yeah, this guy's like the worst CIA agent ever,
yeah. Yeah, all these witnesses, and he about to torture another dude in the bathroom. So he does.
At risk.
Putting them at risk, right. Now they know the location. He's not blindfolding them. He just tell them, let him out when he gone. And the little kid didn't ask no questions. The little kid was good, though, because he was like, yes, Mr. yes, Mr. Renner. Yes, Mr. Ethan. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, I thought Cosdog was going to toss him that towel like Mean Joe Green, young.
He let him out in 15 minutes.
They had that little bond going on. That was pretty good. That's why I dropped all my racist thoughts, young, because he cared about the little black kid. Young.
He did, man. He cared about that black family, man.
Yeah, he did.
Like, even after she had that baby, he was like, man, don't move out. And, like, Jules had to tell him, like, no, man, we got to go, bruh. We don't even like living here. Like, guns right. And shit. You here torturing people? Like, this shit ain't no safe place for no kid. Right.
This is a quick-ass squat, you know? You came back and fucked that up.
Right. Appreciate it. But, yeah, man. So, that's when he gets his daughter calls him and says she needs she wants to cook dinner for, old boy and see if he'll ask her out to the prom. And, he was like, cool, let me get you this instruction from a real live Italian, as he calls him. that shit was so racist, dog. Oh, man. His ex, like, he comes home after, after she cooked dinner, and she's like, he asked me to the prom, but she was stressing on some, like, I don't know how to dance. So he danced with his daughter and, like, was teaching her how to dance. And right about then, his ex walked in, and she seen him being a good father, and they was getting along, and she melted.
She gave him that butt, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another 10, because he killed her with that. And plus, he had the suit on, too, I think, at this time. Like,
yeah, he's looking debonair, young cost dog.
Mm-hmm. He was up there, like, look at me being a father.
Mm-hmm. Liam can't be looking debonair like cost dog, and that's one thing he got over him.
Yeah, and Liam too tall.
Yeah?
Like, Liam would have been looking real awkward trying to hold that little girl and dance and shit, like a big-ass gorilla and shit. Like, cost dog was the right height, man.
Yep.
So yeah, he was real dignified. And I noticed at that part, he never stopped wearing his wedding band. So I said, he got him.
Mm-hmm.
Now he did promise not to work for the CIA while he was in town. He went out and started working for the CIA, man. He got a phone call. He did a car chase all through town, which is another staple of the Impossible White Man movie. I'm actually adding 20 points for this. Anytime the police never show up.
Yeah.
Like, this past that, man. Like, he fought in a grocery store and nobody came. Each did a chase scene through town, ended up with a car going over a bridge. And they still never came, man. Like, we see the cops to the very end of this movie. So, yeah, that's plus 20.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a car chase. And he finally gets the albino and the wolf together. Then there's a foot chase. And this nigga starts passing out again.
I'm like, why didn't this bitch just give him a bigger dose, Shung, so he can get the job done?
Right. Like, oh, couldn't it have waited a couple days or something? Like, how you going to... It's like giving a nigga chemo and then being like, now go out and solve some crimes.
Like, hey, I'm trying to wean it.
Right. I'm still on a fluid diet, bitch. I'm dying. Dying on these goddamn missions, man.
She was trying to kill that man. Like, she gave him that shot and then he almost passed out. And she was like, yeah, drink some vodka. Like, how do you even know my wife drinks, young? I could just die.
Right. She's like, yeah, you hallucinating. So... That's one of the side effects that I ain't tell you about.
Yeah.
So he actually passes out again, and Albino got a little too cocky, cause he was like, yeah, I seen this before. He liked to pass out, and it was a train coming, so he put his head over the side of the train, so apparently the Albino has a penchant for decapitation. Which, matter of fact, I gotta add 10 for that. Anytime a villain has a thing that they do to kill people, which you know is gonna get him killed. Like, cause he could just be killing people and taking 1 second, but he'd be like, nah, I gotta put him in a guillotine first. You know, that's my thing. So he ended up getting killed by Costner cause it was taking too long. And, the Wolf was telling him, man, he was like, hey, just kill that nigga, man. What are you doing?
I guess that's why he's the boss, Shane.
Right? That's why he'll always be second.
He know better, young.
He's like, just kill him. He was like, no, I gotta do it my way. I like to take my time.
This nigga taking a cue from the fucking Adam West Batman and shit. Like, nah, I'm about to set this motherfucking turbine up, put you under it, and walk away. Right. It's gonna be good.
Now me and my henchmen are gonna go on a mission and turn our backs. So, yeah, man.
He died.
He got killed like shit, man. Cause he wouldn't do shit the easy way, man. Meanwhile, this whole fight scene is happening while Costner is passed the fuck out, which is like the second time that he basically is fighting for his life while laying on the ground trying to catch his breath, man. Forrest Whitaker would have murdered that scene.
Yeah, he would have. Hey, dog, you gotta be lunching off that drink now, young. Why didn't he just throw him in the train tracks, young? And when Cos woke up, he could just play defense, like, nope, you ain't getting up here.
Right.
Get back. Had him a stick, and like, nope, get back.
It's because he liked decapitations, man. Even if you think about the logistics of how he was gonna do it, that shit was dangerous. Like, he was gonna be real close to getting decapitated, too. Like, the way he was holding him, it's like he was gonna hold his head barely over the edge and then stand on top of him. Nigga, you can fall in, anything can happen.
Yeah, I hate the way they make these supposed smart ass villains so dumb in one instance. Like, this dude remembered the Asian chick from, like, somewhere in, like, you know, Casablanca or some shit when she was a waitress or something like that. But he don't have, like, common sense enough to know, I'm gonna be standing right next to the damn train tracks with a train killer.
Right.
And this might go wrong. Just maybe.
That just shot me once.
Yeah.
Like, but that's cool. So yeah, he got killed like he was supposed to, man. And then the Wolf ran away, got away free. Amber Heard shows up and does some more like pointless sexy shit, stands over him with a skirt on. Like, it was just, like, I don't know. And like, oh, I just remember. I gotta add another 10 points. He declined some pussy from Amber Heard, so that's plus 10. Like, yeah. If you fuck, that's like plus 5. Cause like, almost all these movies had like, you know, dude with a love interest and he fucks her or whatever. But very rarely do they have it where they just turn to her like, no! Can't have this dick. I'm here to do a mission. What's wrong with you, hot woman?
Right. Plus, he could have died too young. Like, why not?
Yeah, like he was done. And he had an ex-wife. His daughter didn't give a fuck. She was throwing the pussy at him. I thought he was going to fuck, but apparently not, man. He was too good for that. So they went to the prom. And this is a new thing to me. Must be a European thing. Parents go to the prom?
Maybe that's a thing in Europe. I don't know.
Okay, it felt like plot device for... just for them to have that last big reveal. Cause it really didn't, like, cause I was like, why are they making such a big deal of them going to the prom with her? Like, wouldn't you just be like, all right, honey, have a good night. And, don't stay out too late, blah, blah, blah. But, they all go out to the club, hop in the elevator, meet her boyfriend, and surprise, surprise, that Wolf is like I think the business partner of his father or some shit. So it's a small world. He just happened to be evil, even though he almost got killed earlier by a CIA agent. He decided to stay in town and attend the prom that of a person that's not even his kid.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, dog. I thought Costog was trolling right there, young. Cause I thought at some point he's gonna turn to that camera and say, "Is this where I dance with the Wolf?"
That would have been so good.
Nigga, that shit would have won comedy of the year, y'all.
Everybody in my theater would have walked out except me.
I know. Niggas would have been so mad.
I would have been partying so hard. Like, yes.
Like, yeah. Cock dog dominated y'all. Get him. I've been pointing at people, y'all.
Get him.
He danced with the wolf, y'all. Y'all get it?
Yeah, that shit would have been good, man. He would have broke the fourth wall and everything. But he ain't do it, man. So then they had this like stare down, like, oh, it's you, you know, but everybody else is being cool. They should have exchanged some bars in the elevator, but they really didn't talk much. I wanted him to just be, you know, say some of those like double meaning lines and shit. You know, enjoy your last dance or some shit like that, but they didn't do that. So they get out in the club. Kosdog was acting real suspicious. So his wife was like, "You working? I knew it." Right. 'Cause women don't care. Right. He tried to save y'all wife. And she was just mad. Plus 10. Oh God.
It ain't about saving me. It's about you breaking your promise.
Right. She was mad. He like, they gonna kill us in 5 minutes. She's like, you said you wouldn't work. I need some air. I need to step outside. Oh man. Then his daughter, like a dumbass, rolls off with the little dude. She was hiding the pants. And then they kissed and then, went back to the club. So they ain't really do much. But that kind of eliminated the whole idea. Like if dude was going to be in on it, I thought that was going to be the scene where he was like, ha ha, I'm bad too. But he didn't pull that move. So, you know, but that's cool. the wolf and his bad guys literally shoot the club up.
Yeah, they did, man.
What? That didn't make no sense compared to all the shit that they said about him to start the movie. You know, he's the most impossible one to catch. He's never been seen before. He's so careful about covering his track. These niggas shot the goddamn club up with him in it. Yeah, oh man.
And they were shooting like some well-trained Cobra operatives too, dog.
Against one man.
Missing everything.
Everything. Didn't even hit other people. Just missing.
Hitting glass.
So Kosdog took their ass out. Then the wolf ran into the elevator to try to escape. And Kosdog stopped that elevator like halfway through and shot it so that it fell. And he hit that, I'm sending you down. I waited all movie for that.
Right,
young. Hit him with that. I'm sending you down. Oh.
Shit, so I'm sending you 3,000 miles to Graceland.
Right. So, dude falls all the way down to the ground and shit. And, Kosdog, of course, starts, going down the steps. And he has to fight some dudes down the steps. Now, where these motherfuckers was at when he was upstairs killing everybody, I don't know.
Right.
But they came out of nowhere and he started killing them. And then he started having another one of his attacks, dog. Like, he couldn't breathe, you know, between the steps and the kung fu and the shooting and shit. So he gets to the bottom, and my favorite scene of the movie happens. These two old ass men was laying on the ground passing out. One of them just fell in the elevator like 3 stories, and he can't walk. The other one having a heart attack. And they was really fighting over this gun, dog. Like, it was like the last fortune cookie or some shit. He'd lay it on the ground the whole time. It was like dramatic music playing, all this shit. And Amber Heard shows up and kicks the gun to Kevin Costner. Well, I'm like, you know, is that really cool? You know, like, that's how you gonna end it? You gonna kick him the gun and be like, kill him now. Why don't you just do it? You the only one that can stand.
Yes and no. I mean, that would have made sense, young, but that's kind of like Catwoman getting that last kill, young, in The Dark Knight. Like, man, I want to see you get the last kill. Kick that gun.
Yeah, but it's like, what's your job? You know, like, at that point, I'm just like, what do you just show up? Like, he did everything. Damn, he dying. Just help. Like he can't stand. But she kicked him the gun.
She was pressed for him to do everything.
She was so pressed. For somebody that, you know, supposed to be good, she was pressed to shit. So then she kicks him the gun and he was like, no, I'm not going to shoot him. I'm done. I'm out. Right. I made a promise to my wife and my daughter. And I'm a good dad now. So then he wouldn't take the gun and the bad guy was about to get it. So then she finally shot him, like, you know, rolled her eyes like, see, this is what I get fucking with you.
Making me do my job. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, now I gotta kill somebody. Damn. And the cops didn't show up. Nobody ever asked about all the dead bodies. That was it. He was forgiven. He went to the cabin to live with his family. And Amber Heard showed up and gave him the rest of the cure for cancer. And ta-da! The end. I was kind of hoping that he would, they would set something up for a sequel or something.
Right.
But, they probably didn't think this shit was going to make no money. So they was like, nah, we good. Trying to think if I missed any other impossible white man tropes. Let's see. We had the, love interest. He got back with his wife. So I already counted that joint. Got some good racism in it. Trying to think if he had any things where he was right, but the people in charge was wrong, because you know that's another one that they be doing all the time. They'd be like, "No, you got to do it this way," and they'd be like, "Fuck you! You don't know what you're talking about." I don't think he had any of those. So let me add up the score. Let me get my calculator here. We got +5, +10, +5, +10, +5, +10, +20, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10, +10 for our first official Impossible White Man movie review, 125 Abraham Lincolns. Cost Dog and 3 Days to Kill. I feel like anything over about 80 is good. Anything over 100 is probably a must see if you're into the Impossible White Man genre. And I feel like this was one of those movies, man, where if you're into Impossible White Man shit, man, you'll enjoy it, because he does a lot of ridiculous shit. And then all the offbeat comedy stuff and family stuff actually really went well. All
right, so do we give any points for them being a geriatric impossible white man?
Mm-hmm. I think I gave +10 for him being old at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, man. You get an extra +10. Like, you know, you gotta grade them on the curve, man. But that make it better for me, honestly.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Because, like, you know, I guess shit, the last movie he was in, Jack Ryan, there was some impossible white man shit in that joint too. But at least dude was young enough, he'd be like, okay, well, he might be able to run fast. Yeah,
right. Like, I saw this movie, The Last Stand, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was like 70.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible, yeah.
Yo, this nigga climbed a roof, jumped off the roof by shoulder tackling a dude, and shot him point blank in the head and fell 7 stories back to the ground and didn't even get hurt. And I said, that's like +20, because that's impossible. Like, that's so impossible. He would have had at least broke a hip, dog.
It was super impossible, man. Like, last week it snowed here and I was out shoveling snow off my car. I was actually listening to your podcast, young. My back was so hot, young.
Mm-hmm.
Just shoveling snow. So this old ass dude about to climb something and jump on somebody and shove. Man, all my back would have been so fucking tight, young.
But he got stabbed in the leg and kept fighting. I was like, this shit's stupid. Like, if I got stabbed, I'm like, ouch, man, what are you doing? Shit, you win. Go to Mexico or wherever you was going, dog. I'm giving a fuck. But yeah, make sure y'all check out Tone and crew, man. 5starter.com podcast. Is hot5starter.tumblr for the website. Hit that button. Make sure you guys, check them out and follow them on Twitter too. It's @hot5starter. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll be back soon with another Impossible White Man movie review. But for right now, official score of 3 Days to Kill, 125 Abraham Lincolns. Anybody else, if you watch this movie and you have something to add, email me, hit me up on Twitter. And if I miss one of them Impossible White Man tropes that we need to add some points for, I'll add it. All right, man. Until then, peace out.